Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Thank you for your company. My usual home is Classical 101, but a couple of days a month, they let me walk across the hallway to join you all for All Sides Weekend. And do we have a show for you today? There is a great collaboration happening in Columbus next week at the Ohio Theater, opening on Thursday, February 13th, and running through the weekend with four performances of West Side Story, the score by Leonard Bernstein, the lyrics by Stephen Sondheim, the book by Arthur Lawrence, the original conception by Jerome Robbins. None of them are here, but we don't need them because we have the people making this production happen. This is a collaboration between Kappa, the Columbus Symphony, Ballet Met, and Opera Columbus, and joining us today to talk all things West Side Story and the arts in Central Ohio are Julia Newland-Mera, who is the Artistic Director, General Director of Opera Columbus.
Hello.
Well, Remy Wittmeyer, who is the Artistic Director of Ballet Met, and Rosen Milanov, who is the Conductor Music Director of the Columbus Symphony. And without each of these good folks and Kappa, there would be no new production of West Side Story in the Ohio Theater next week. And before we talk, I just want to remind you of some of the music.
So I can count on you, boy.
All right.
We're going to have us a ball.
All right.
Music from Leonard Bernstein's score to West Side Story, a show you're going to see next week in the Ohio Theater. That was the original Broadway cast from 1957. I didn't see it, but I was alive when that was done. Nobody else in this room was. That is the original Broadway. That was Carol Lawrence, who, by the way, is now 93 years old and hopefully alive and well. Julia Newland-Mera, how did this come about that you all decided to do, of all things, of all big, complicated, wonderful productions, how did you all choose West Side Story?
Yes, absolutely. So with the symphony in Kappa, over the past 3 years, we've kind of grown what grand scale opera and grand performances can be together at the Ohio Theater. And we did Rigoletto 2 years ago. And Chad said, Julia, what's next? And I said, how about West Side Story? And so with Rossin, with Chad, we kind of started cooking on this. And then we also started talking with Ballet Met, which was really exciting. And everybody just leaped, not to make a pun on dance, but we were just so excited. And I think part of what's incredible from this story, again, wow, I'm with the puns today, is that you could never have a show this scale in New York City, on Broadway. I mean, you know, we're talking 28 dancers. We have 18 singers, 52 in the pit. I mean, like, this is remarkable. And I'm just so excited.
with love and respect, but a Broadway pit orchestra for this is probably about 30 players.
Less.
And you've got double that with the Columbus Symphony, which is still not the full strength Columbus Symphony because they're you know. I really, first of all, Ballet Met, Kappa, the Columbus Symphony, and Opera Columbus, what specifically was Opera Columbus's, pardon the pun, role in getting this going?
So I have been observing this trend in the industry that there's kind of a return to rediscovering musicals on an operatic scale. So actually, the same weekend that we're presenting this, Houston Grand Opera is also doing West Side Story. And so I've always been very curious. I mean, Bernstein's score is incredible. And so to us, that kind of felt like the perfect way of bringing all the forces. But when you look at all our entities, we do this all on the biggest scale, right? Like the orchestra is incredible and grandiose. Ballet, you have the best dancers. So, you know, and we have the best singers. So bringing everything together was great.
Is this an opera?
It is an opera. It is a musical. It is a ballet. It is a symphony. And that's what's so special about it.
What kind of voices? Because the voices we just heard from the original, all of the original cast in 1957, they were kids. They were very young. I think the oldest one was 30 years old.
Yeah.
And the two leads were kids. And they were presumably mic'd in Broadway so they could be heard in the what was then the Eurus Theater. what kind of voices do you need to do this that don't sound like Wagner?
Well, you do need powerhouses in terms of vocal chops, but at the same time, they are slightly supported also with microphones because they're also dancing. They're also leaping.
And they're speaking. They're speaking.
They're speaking. Yeah. So, and the Ohio Theater, as we know, is a huge theater, so we have to make sure that everybody hears them. But there's also something that's a little blasphemous in opera, which is they're speaking over music while they're playing, so instead of singing. So that's a
There's
that's a
no
little
one
difference.
Right way to do it.
Correct.
West Side Story is at the Ohio Theater. It opens on Thursday, the 13th of February, and runs through the weekend, including a Valentine's Day and including a Sunday matinee. Here's what you need to do if you're interested. You need to buy your tickets now. You need to go to cbusarts.com because they are, the seating charts, there are very few little open spaces. So I would get there today or as soon as you could listen to the show first because we're really great. But then go to cbusarts.com and get your tickets for West Side Story. And Russin Milanov, talk to me about Leonard Bernstein, the composer. You are the music director of the Columbus Symphony.
A few years back, I think the entire world was celebrating his 100th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I remember that time, it was just pre-COVID. And we had pretty much an entire season dedicated to Bernstein. And one of my dreams, of course, was to do perhaps one of his most popular scores, which is the one to West Side Story. And little that I knew now, 5-6 years later, we're doing this project. And the music of Bernstein is quite ingenious because if our listeners are familiar with the stories, these are two clashing worlds, both ethnically, ideologically, historically in New York City. But each one of them carries their own music. So he picked the language of the jazz of his time, the 1950s, to portray the Jets, and then he picked the Latin American dance idiom to portray the other gang, which is the Sharks. So in the music, these two worlds are constantly colliding, and when they manage to merge together, then they create this beautiful lyrical Puccini-like textures that we know from the numbers for Tony and Maria, their big balcony scene, and the other big duet later on, and certainly showstoppers such as Maria.
Mm. Bernstein died in 1991. Were you able to see him in the theater conduct? You would have been a kid then.
No. It's an interesting question because in 1991, I was selected to be part of the Tanglewood conducting program. And after my audition, which I don't know whether he was there or not, I had to audition in Boston with the Boston Symphony Orchestra musicians. I was ready to meet him, but unfortunately he passed away in the fall. So that year at Tanglewood, 1991, I remember it was a pretty dark year because of the incredible loss of a person that was just so instrumental to obviously a lot of musicians and to everything that he created in terms of him being composer and conductor, but also an incredible teacher to a lot of conductors.
I used to say that in the 50s and 60s, there were two musicians in America. There were Elvis and Leonard Bernstein, and everybody knew Leonard Bernstein through Omnibus, through his TV series, which that's on YouTube now. The 70-year-old kinescopes are wonderful; they're still terrific. Mm-hmm. I heard him many times in the theater, and it was everything that the history books say he was. He was. He was just extraordinary, and did the leap too. So, well, I'm old. That's the only reason. I saw him there. But talk a bit about, because people know he was a great conductor and a personality, but not enough people know about him as a composer.
They know him perhaps the most from the score that we are about to present here, West Side Story, because it's such a classic and it's so original. And it's really something that I think he felt at the time being closer to himself as a person, because he was a young person when he wrote this. It's not the Bernstein that we knew from the 1980s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And so this is a music that appeals to a lot of musical tastes. But on the other hand, he also has some pretty serious and, I would say, works with a lot more gravitas, as certainly the First Symphony, the Jeremiah Symphony, the Second Symphony, the Age of Anxiety, pieces such as Mass, for instance, that require an incredible forces, kind of almost touching up with the intellectual complexity works of probably his famous composer, Gustav Mahler, and a lot of other works that touch pretty much any genre that one could think of the 20th century. So I believe that he was a true American original. And to a lot of people, when we speak about American music nowadays, one could find parts of Bernstein's DNA in almost every score. But it's music that... that is extroverted by nature, which is, I think, what he was as a personality, as a conductor, as a composer, and music that always looks for connection with the listener and wants to change you in a way, which is a wonderful thing that our art forms could do. And I think for the 1950s, which was one of the most amazing and positive times in American history of a lot of things that were built, I think music was also put on a quite high pedestal at the time. And he was famous. And how many composers do we know now that are living that are really household names? Mm. I'm afraid not that many.
He was always a composer of today, in my opinion. And everything, there are elements of everything that he was doing that I think if you were in the original audiences, you would have said, I've never heard something quite like that before. That is a total original. West Side Story is presented at the Ohio Theater, opening on the 13th of February next Thursday, runs through the weekend. Go to cbusarts.com if you want to buy tickets. Good luck to you. I'll do it now because this thing is going clean. We're going to hear a little more music, take a break, and come back and talk to Remy Wertmeyer at Ballet Met. One Hand, One Heart from the original Broadway recording from 1957 of West Side Story. We're going to take a quick break and come on back with more of our conversation about West Side Story in Columbus. Don't go away.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. We are talking about a new production of West Side Story, music by Leonard Bernstein, Arthur Lawrence, Stephen Sondheim, Jerome Robbins. None of them are here, but boy, do I have a show for you. I hope you're enjoying it. Julia Newland-Mera is here from Opera Columbus. Roslyn Milanov is here, the art music director of the Columbus Symphony, and Remy Wertmeyer is the artistic director of Ballet Met. You used to be new in town. Now you're not anymore, so I don't have to be nice to you anymore. You're part of the family now. So this West Side Story is a collaboration between your three organizations and Kappa at the Ohio Theater. And this, Remy, this is a dance show.
Completely. I mean, what excites me so much about this production is, well, we're elevating it, of course, but originally it was created by Jerome Robbins, who was this incredible ballet choreographer of the New York City Ballet. And so it's already, so when I was, if I may go back a little here. So my first experience of West Side Story was as like a 7-year-old seeing the musical for the first time. It was my first musical I ever saw. And I was just blown away by this musical. And I didn't realize at that time that it was because this ballet choreographer had created and choreographed this musical. So I really already had that link because I started ballet at 2.5 years old. So I was already a pro. No, definitely not.
So, but when you were 7 and you were watching it, so you knew what they were doing, even at the age of 7. You understood the technique of what they were doing.
Well, I don't know if I realized I understood it, but there was something that resonated. And I was like, this is exactly what I'm excited about. Like, this really got me going as a kid. And so so to be here as my first production that I'm choreographing for Ballet Met, to be creating West Side Story is just super exciting.
There is nothing, I think, stronger or frankly sexier than the opening shots of the men, you know, starting.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you recreate that?
Well, I mean, it's just we have these incredibly physical dancers. You know, ballet dancers are so capable. They have this extreme education of movement, right? And so we've been able to elevate the dance component in this production. So we have the dancers out there, we have the singers out there, we have the dancers singing and the singers dancing, and it's an awesome production.
What do you do with a singer who hasn't really been a dancer before and says to you, oh my God, I can't do that. I'll fall right up. I'm just not going to be able to do it. How do you sort of take care of them and get them to do what you need them to do?
Well, what I do is I come to it from a place of like, okay, so what feels good to you? Like, what feels good to you? Because ultimately, if I go in there and try and get them to do something that a ballet dancer spent 15 years training for, I mean, that's not possible, right? So you go, you say, what feels natural to you? Oh, this movement. You know, what do you do at the salsa club, for example? What do you do when you're out dancing with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whatever it is? And then they show me a step, and then I go, okay, how about we do this with that and we add that? And then they feel comfortable. They feel like they're in their own capacity, and we move from there.
Do you need special licensing arrangements to not use Jerome Robbins' choreography?
So, and that's what I was going to say. Remy's being very modest because he actually created a lot of the choreography.
I was going to say, you're doing your own. It's your show.
Yes.
I'm choreographing it. Yeah. No, it's inspired by Robbins.
Yeah.
But, like, Robbins was such a great choreographer that it inspires me to then go that extra step with these extremely capable dancers.
Yeah.
So inspired by the Robbins, but very much Lee, a new creation. Yeah.
And Julia, going back to something you said earlier, if you or I went to see this on Broadway, and we have, I mean, I'm sure you have, and I've seen it there. You're seeing it maybe in an 1,100 seat theater at the most, and you're seeing there. It's wonderful. I'm not sick, but you're not seeing it in a 3,000 seat theater with a symphony orchestra, et cetera. So what was the challenge of really expanding the show? Was it written to be adapted for a huge venue like we're doing?
No, I think we've all been stretching ourselves a little bit in terms of bringing it all together in terms of the production. The orchestra is typically 22 pieces, I think, when it's on Broadway.
They probably have a lot.
Should be even less these days. Yeah.
But for us, it has been also like the Tetris of scheduling, right? I mean, like Remy, you've been working on it since September, fitting it between Dracula and Nutcracker.
Yeah, exactly.
You had a, you know, Mahler in the between.
Yeah, we have a regular season. Around.
So this has been really a labor of love from all of us to try to fit it all together and to do it. But also just speaking a little bit about our performers, two of them did the world tour of West Side Story. So they know the Jerome Robbins way very, very well. So they were extremely hungry to learn the Remy way. So that was also something that was really
exciting.
Well,
I'm glad we're going to see original choreography. I mean, I think that's exciting. That's really something. And to really hear it in a symphonic way. The only really symphonic West Side Story that's around is Bernstein's own recording of it that came from the end of his life. And that has separate problems that we won't talk about. But
In terms of licensing, when I called the folks who own the rights, MTI, they're like, you want to do what? Like, because they couldn't believe how big it was going to be, but they were very excited. But they hold the rights very close to their hearts.
I know, it's
too
hard to get the rights, yeah.
They had to approve our stage director. We had to send in reels of her work, her biography, like everything. So they want to make sure the people who do it really take care of it.
And even on this end, we have to send the choreography in to show them like what we're doing, and they approve what we're doing. And
what would make them not approve?
If they haven't worked on Broadway or musicals before, if they weren't familiar with the piece. So they have like a really specific checklist. It's very interesting.
This is a collaboration again between Kappa, between Opera Columbus, between Ballet Met, and between the Columbus Symphony. This is a very culturally rich community, and I want to make sure people, because this is the news station, but I want to make sure people listening realize that not only is West Side Story wonderful, but the work that all of you do separately in your own theaters and your own seasons with the ballet, the opera, and the symphony are equally fantastic. A couple of weeks ago in the Ohio Theater, a big crowd sat through Mahler's Second Symphony, which was magnificent, with the Columbus Symphony conducted by Rosa Milanov and Stephen Caracciolo's Columbus Symphony Chorus. And that was an evening. That was a stunning performance. And
thank
I just
you.
Want to, on the radio, congratulate you for that.
Thank you.
And congratulate the Columbus Symphony. What's next? What are you working on besides West Side Story, Rosa Milanov?
Well, last weekend, of course, we had a world premiere of a piece that we co-commissioned by John Corigliano with a wonderful young cellist and Beethoven Eroica. Now, of course, we're in West Side Story land, and then immediately after, at the end of the month, we have Copland Appalachian Spring, another piece by a very close and personal friend,
Bernstein's teacher.
Then we have an old Mozart concert coming back in the middle of March, and so on and so forth, until we close the season with one of the most amazing pieces of the 20th century, Britten War's Requiem, with our Columbus Symphony Chorus.
Not enough people know the War Requiem. Sell me some tickets here, because that's a that's a magnificent work that people
it
should go and hear that.
It is a magnificent work. It was written for... I wouldn't say it's commemorating, certainly, World War II. So each one of the solo parts was conceived from for a different person on the side of the Allied forces. So the soprano part was written for probably one of the greatest sopranos of the 20th century, Galina Vishnevskaya, also the wife of Mstislav Rostropovich, one of the greatest cellists and conductors. And the baritone part was written for a German singer, Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau. Mm-hmm. And the tenor part was written for a British tenor, who was the husband of Benjamin Britten, partner, Peter Pierce. And the piece features a full orchestra, but also features a chamber orchestra within, in addition to a big mixed choir and a children's chorus that sings from the back of the hall. So an incredible experience, fitting, I think, for any requiem, but of course celebrating perhaps a war that many of us have it in our memory through the generations of our parents and grandparents that have experienced it. So I think it's an important work to be heard, never performed before in Columbus, and it certainly is going to be the end of the season that we always try to present something big of that proportion.
It's a phenomenal score, and I've been a concert goer for 50 years, and I've only heard it done once because it's such a daunting piece to do. I mean, it's the rehearsal process will be for you. I'm sure very, very time consuming, but what a great piece it is. I look forward to the War Requiem by Benjamin Britten. That's again a collaboration, the Columbus Symphony Chorus and Orchestra in the Ohio Theater. And Remy Wertmeyer, you don't do anything else except West Side Story and hang around. So what's going on? No. What else are you working on?
Well, actually, we're actually about to do another collaboration.
Oh, good.
We're going to be doing Sleeping Beauty. With
really?
with the Columbus Symphony. They'll be performing for us.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so we're performing together there at the Ohio
first
Theater.
First week of May.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah. So we're real exciting.
That's Tchaikovsky Sleeping
Beauty.
It's
the beautiful Tchaikovsky.
Is it your choreography?
Not exactly. No, it's the choreography we've been performing, but it will be a little bit adapted. We're turning it into a two-act, so it's nice and succinct, and it's not drawn out too long. And I think it'll be nice, you know, just have all the best moments.
And Julia, you just had a big smash hit with the Three Penny Opera, that
yes,
naughty show. My goodness, I'm shocked. But that was a big success for you. And then you're inviting us to a wedding coming up, aren't you?
That's right. Our whole season has been titled "Love Is a Battlefield."
Well, get that right.
And so we're ending with Marriage of Figaro. Mozart at the Southern Theater.
And when is that?
Is the 25th and 27th of April.
See, I'm making the point there's so much going on in the arts in Central Ohio. We have three prime movers of the arts here on the show today. We're talking about West Side Story, and I want to just go back to the show, but I want to give everybody a little more music. The Dance at the Gym from West Side Story, Leonard Bernstein's music. You can hear West Side Story, see West Side Story, experience West Side Story at the Ohio Theater next week. Go to cbutsarts.com. That's a choreographer's dream, isn't it? The music we just heard. What do you do with that?
That's my favorite scene in this whole production. I mean, I'm a little biased because it is the scene that has, you know, 28 of the dancers and the whole, like, all the singers and actors and everyone on stage. It's massive. I don't think I've seen that many people on stage in this. Definitely no production I've seen of this West Side Story have I seen that many people on stage at one time having having the time of their life.
Julia, talk to me about who's your stage director. Tell me about your stage director and the designs as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the stage director is Allegra Libonati, and she actually worked with us last year. She did the Temple, which was her magic flute.
That was a
creation
big success too.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's pretty unique in her skill set because she works in the circus world, the opera world, the musical theater
world.
Go back.
Okay. She works in the, well, circus, opera, you know, yeah. What's the difference? I mean, tell me about that. Circus. What does she do with the circus?
She directs circus shows. So she's worked with Cirque du Soleil. I mean, she has a lot of talents of bringing people together. And she's a wonderful storyteller. So for us, that was really a wonderful addition to this group.
Does she have to sit on stage with a whistle or a microphone to make sure everybody hears what
she does have a microphone to call some of the staging when we're at the theater. But yeah, it's been really wonderful having her energy also into the room.
Now, Remy, I know because the last time I spoke to you, which was also the first time I spoke to you, you were already beginning rehearsal last fall for this. So when did it all start coming together with the three of you?
Well, I think because we had different schedules, right? Mm-hmm. We were so busy all around. So we had to kind of like fit rehearsals in things. I started early because we had time at the beginning of the season. So I started early, got most of the dance scenes out so that then when we came together, it wasn't about like, oh, we've got to choreograph this scene now. We had the dance scenes and then Allegra was able to come in and direct around that.
Yeah. What do you do if someone says no? Change it.
No, they do it.
We do that. That's our job. We all want the best, so we gotta be flexible.
But we also had a really fun workshop session back in October.
We did.
Where Allegra came and worked with you and did some movement.
Yeah,
and
we
talking.
Had the dancers all around a piano, and they were all like expressing themselves vocally, which was a change. You know, ballet's a silent art form most of the time, and we had these dancers with such courage, like at the piano, learning to sing, saying dialogue. And it was really interesting to see who stepped up. And we actually, from that process, that workshop, we were able to see who was capable of, like, delivering lines. And then as the whole group, we were all singing on stage. It's really cool.
Russell Milanov, I understand how one conducts. I don't know. I can't do it. I'd never be able. But I understand how one conducts a symphony concert and how one conducts an opera and an oratorio. I have no idea how you conduct dance or ballet. How do you do that? I mean, what if somebody falls or just decides that, you know, in middle of the phrase, I'm not doing, I'm going to slow it down or whatever. How do you conduct dance?
Well, in this case, with Ballet Met, I don't think we have this kind of a problem because I've worked with them in the past several times. And I think, and Remy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's such a requirement to be a good dancer, to also be a good musician, and to respond to the energy of the music, to the feel of the music, and translate it with what you do with your body. So for me, I've conducted so many ballet performances during my career everywhere, here in
you're
Europe.
You're known for that.
It's just like, it's kind of like happened that way. I did not really plan it that way, but I think that maybe because the conducting profession is also to a certain degree translating the music with a certain gesture, obviously not as elegant as a ballet dancer, but there's a certain element of pantomime involving in telling the story of a piece. And so I respond to this very well because when I think about a piece that I have to conduct, I obviously have to find a visual language for it that incorporates what I would like to say. And, you know, classical style, I conduct one way. Mahler or anything a little bit more dramatic, I conduct in a different way. So I understand what the dancers are going through. And of course, as you said, like some nights, it's never the same because this is the unique thing about doing a live performance that you never know if your singers are going to be 100%, 85 or 110. And it's the same for the dancers. You, as the only part of the creative team that is actually in every performance, controlling the time and controlling the flow of it, I feel that I have to be very open to read with my eyes and with my feel how everything is feeling and to adjust the performance so it's successful every night. So it's a wonderful feel because it's never the same.
And we are talking about West Side Story, and we are going to take one last break and come back and talk some more. Don't go away.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. We get together one Friday of the month to talk about arts and culture in Central Ohio. We probably need five Fridays to do it because there's so much going on. We are talking about in this show, we're talking about West Side Story, Leonard Bernstein's show that is opening at the Ohio Theater next week, a collaboration between Kappa, Ballet Met, Opera Columbus, and the Columbus Symphony. We have the conductor, the choreographer, and the producer here with us to talk about the collaboration. And Remy, let's talk a little bit more about your choreography. You are differing a bit from Jerome Robbins. Probably a lot. You're differing a lot. It's your show.
Yeah, I mean, so I choreograph all different styles, right? Like we spoke last time, how I do stuff for runway, for music videos, for classical ballet, for opera, the whole thing. So as you were saying before, the music really dictates the piece so well. And I really feel like as a choreographer, the music is what inspires me 100%. So this music is fantastic. So it's not moving massively away from that kind of like awesome swing jazz, you know, all that's in it. The snaps. I learned today about snaps, whereas we call them clicks in Australia. But yeah, we're all about the snaps. So it's just an elevated version, really. I mean, there's a lot harder choreography, bigger lifts. We have some of the singers. We have the guy, Taylor, who plays the character of Riff. He's literally flipping some of our ballet dancers and stuff on stage. It's really cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Julia, tell me about some of your cast.
Well, you talked about a little bit about Taylor Harley. So he's had 10 years of ballet before he actually switched to being a musical theater. So I think he's been really enjoying working with you. We have a Jaden Webster. He's our Tony. He's going to break your heart. He's incredible. He comes from the musical theater side. And our Maria, she comes from the opera side, which I also love that it's been a little bit of a push and pull, if you will. So Cecilia Violeta Lopez. Again, heartbreaking. I mean, the Romeo and Juliet balcony scene is so beautiful and so romantic. But what I love also most about this production is about 97% of our performers are all Columbus-based performers. And I think that's going to be really surprising to a lot of people who come and get to experience this piece. For example, our Bernardo, he's local. Isaac Tobler, and also originally Puerto Rican. So for him, that's even more meaningful to be doing this in Columbus. And I think that's such a wonderful love story. And I think, Rawson, I mean, I love watching you in the music rehearsals because there's another layer that people, I think, don't realize that you've been working on, which is like all the pronunciations and the accents. And it's just made it so much richer in terms of the performance. And I'm really excited about that, too. So,
well, it's partially an opera, too.
Yes.
I was doing some research and this piece was premiered in the Winter Garden Theater in New York. And at the original production, they did not use microphones for the singers.
Right,
which I could see because the score is actually so tender and quiet and beautiful when they have to sing these arias that are very much Puccini-like, if you wish.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the orchestra becomes very powerful when we have the dance numbers.
Yeah.
So I could imagine how incredible this must have been to do it in a... I mean, Winter Garden Theater is, what, 1,500 seats?
Yeah.
So it's not that much smaller than when we are, but you know, still, you have to sing if you're in West Side Story.
Oh yes, you have to have.
I think singers were trained in a different way back then. They were trained to do that because amplification hadn't become quite a thing yet in theaters, nor had air conditioning, by the way. But you have to be able to hear everything if you're in the audience, and certainly where there's dialogue, you have to be able to hear. You have to be able to receive the story being told to you through all of your senses. So if they have to use mics, they have to use mics. I mean, you've got a huge barn of a place that was built for the cinema.
Yeah. So. Well, in opera, normally you take a day off in between performances, too. Because it is, you know, you're using your internal amp, if you will.
And they can't afford, if you're producing the show, you've got to do it every night because, you know, you need the box office.
Yes.
No, it's true. You know, it's too expensive to do just two performances and leave it alone.
It's been incredibly wonderful to see everything come together.
And who else is performing?
So
who's your Anita?
Our Anita, her name is Jerusha Cavazos, and she's incredible. She's New York based. She's done it at the Muni before. I just love the energy.
I
know you love her.
Jumidis is my favorite persona in West Side Story. Just because it's a supporting character. It's clear, but it's just like, it has so much depth.
Her personality.
It has really some of the best numbers.
Yeah.
She's the most powerful person, I think, in the show. Really, you wouldn't want to... She's the one who's going to be okay, who's living today as an old lady. You know, she's really... You know,
and she really bridges the gap between singing and dancing because she's out there dancing. She's getting lifted up by our men, flipped around the stage, all sorts of interesting
stuff. She's incredible. And her costume is also an original design by Gerardo Encinas, who's a Columbus base fashion designer.
So we're really... Sets?
I did not do the sets on this one.
Okay.
We rented them.
Well, that's your background.
I mean, yes, it is.
Part of your background, designing the sets.
No, but there's some really wonderful Easter eggs also in this production. For example, the board co-chair of Kappa, she plays Gladhand. which I think is amazing to have Karen Hoff on stage.
Is she any good? What are you going to do? Say no, she's terrible? She's a board champion, you know?
No, I actually approached her and asked her to do it. I thought she was wonderful. I mean, she was for years at Steppenwolf. She has some serious acting chops.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of Easter eggs in the production that people are going to discover and be very excited to root for.
It's going to be a huge undertaking. It's a brilliant show. It's going to be a brilliant production, and it is next week. It is in the Ohio Theater. I keep saying this because I'm excited and I want people to, good luck to you, buy the remaining tickets because it is going very, very quickly. That doesn't mean you should say, oh, why should I bother? It's sold out. It's not. You still can get tickets. Mm-hmm. An easy way to do that is to go to cbusarts.com online, and you can do it in 2 minutes. And we will see you there. So just to review what everybody's coming up in the future, because we're focused on this as we should be, but you are all very, very busy preparing things that are being performed months from now. Julia, you have, what is The Marriage of Figaro?
Marriage of Figaro? It's a farce. It's the sequel to The Barber of Seville that we've done a few years ago. But this will be, because we get this question all the time, it is going to be traditional looking. So think period costumes, because people...
That's killing you, isn't it?
it's not killing me. Okay. We do one every year. But I'm very excited to do Mozart in a traditional format. And then after this, I think you're joining us, Christopher, for the Cooper Bing competition.
Oh, that's right. That's always fun. I always do. You always have great cookies backstage,
yes,
too,
also
which
that.
Are awesome. Yeah, that's great. No, I enjoy that. And that's going to be in...
May 18th.
It's in May. Okay, yeah. I've got it written down someplace. That's in the Southern Theater.
Yes.
And Remy, you mentioned, when is Sleeping Beauty?
Sleeping Beauty is from May the 2nd till the 4th. And it's obviously the Petit part, the complete classic. But then we have Black Voices coming up, which is more contemporary. It's a triple bill. And we have a world premiere by Jennifer Archibald.
Wow.
Tell me about your performance space that's behind your offices on what's it, Mount Vernon Avenue? That's a great, I always love that space.
We do. We have a great great black box theater, and we're looking in the season coming up how we're going to utilize that more and bring in the community more into our building, because we built this beautiful new connector which connects our studios to that black box theater. So we now have a beautiful foyer. And keep an eye out for that.
What did you... what changes did you want to make to the company when you took over recently? Or what did you look at and say, well, I wonder if we could do this, or I have an experience doing something like this, maybe it would work here.
There's a couple of things. Like in the season coming up, because that's my official first season of programming is the next season.
Now, what does that mean?
So that means this season I've come into and it was already in place and I'm kind of adapting to it, which is, it's a great season. It's awesome. I'm excited to be part of it. But next season I'm bringing in some voices that I want to showcase, which is local artists. I'm collaborating with artists and in the dance. So we would have different artists painting and designing the costumes. And then we have choreographers coming in from Europe. We have local homegrown choreographers that I'm nurturing up. I think that's really important to show to nurture people within our community and bring them together, different arts organizations and things, just like what we're doing kind of here, which I think is a really great way of utilizing the local talent. And then I'm bringing up Ballet Met 2. I'm investing more in Ballet Met 2, which is our second company. It's our younger company. I'm giving them more platforms to perform. I'm elevating their repertoire. And part of that will be this black box theater. We're going to get some more performances in there for them.
Ballet Met 2, I guess, is it fair to say that's a training company? Is that fair
to
say?
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
How old do you have to be to join Ballet Met 2?
So, I mean, the youngest...
Or to be chosen, join, God
yeah,
forbid.
Yeah, yeah. it's a small group. It's an eight dancers. And we have... They can start at 16, but usually it's around 17 to 21. It can go up to 23, but by then, usually, you're already entering a main company like Ballet Met.
Right. Are you still dancing?
Just in the shower.
Really?
Along with singing. You've got a whole West Side performance going on in the shower these mornings.
So now you're choreographing and you're setting you're setting dances on the company and you're running the company and probably signing the checks and doing everything else. So that's
all of that, yeah.
That's Remy Wertmeyer, who is the artistic director of Ballet Met, and Rustin Milanov. You have talked about the War Requiem. What other dreams are you thinking of in your head for performances, either with the symphony or collaborating with others?
Oh, We're just about finished planning the next season, which would become public at probably like within a month from now. So we have some very important anniversaries to celebrate through music. One of them is, of course, the big 250 years of United States. Mm-hmm. So my plans are to focus and give a little bit more of a retrospective of the important pieces that have been created here, the important forms of expression, and what defines the classical music as being American. And on the other hand, of course, we have such a fantastic orchestra. I have appointed already in my 10 years of tenure 30 new musicians, and we are holding auditions, and the interest is just enormous. Like, it's not unheard of to get 150 applications for every open spot. Wow. So it's that's part of my responsibility to really make this group as good as it could possibly be, because then that will allow us to perform just about any type of music and to bring any musical idea to life. And here, of course, comes the great luxury to have a fantastic chorus as well that would allow us to do pieces such as the War Requiem, or just to give you a little preview, we are going to do a very interesting version of the Mozart Requiem that has three new movements that Mozart did not write himself, being completed by Gregory Spears, who I think we saw a few years ago.
He was here a few years ago, and his own Requiem is gorgeous, the work that he wrote as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this kind of projects that are one of a kind and not your regular run-of-the-mill symphony orchestra, low-risk programming. So,
well, the symphony was very much the news a year ago with the projected new hall. What's the story on that? Where are we with that?
I think it's still we're still working towards accomplishing that very, very big dream that will hopefully get us to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Columbus Symphony as an institution. So it's I know that everybody that is involved on board level and on consultant level is working very hard to probably bring you good news very soon.
Well, okay, devil's advocate. So you have the Ohio Theater. Why do you need a new hall? Now, I know the answer to that, but let's. I mean, you do need a new hall, but why?
Well, you know that Ohio Theater is absolutely wonderful. I have been enjoying very much performing there with the beautiful orchestral shell that was given to us by one of the greatest supporters of the symphony that we had, Anne Melvin, who we lost about 7 or 8 years ago. But that new hall of the symphony, of course, would allow us to compete less for dates, to present a season that is a little bit more balanced, but in addition to that, to give us a lot of opportunity for places that could be used for the entire community, the entire city of Columbus, to be inspired by music, to create music, to witness how powerful it is to actually create art. And I think every big city of our size already has something like that, that has been in the works for many years, stopping and starting. So I think this is the third time, and as people say, the third time is the charm. So I do hope that that incredible group of musicians we have here in Columbus, those incredible artists, would be given a proper frame to showcase their art, which would be the new Symphony Center.
Well, it's a fine orchestra, and they deserve a fine setting, and so does the audience. And if you have like a 1,200 or 1,300-seat hall that's state-of-the-art acoustically, I think that would be really...
Absolutely.
That will take you to all more levels for everybody. I'm Christopher Purdy. We've been talking about West Side Story with Julia Newland-Mira, the Artistic Director of Opera Columbus, with Remy Wertmeyer, the Artistic Director of Ballet Met, and with Rosa Milanov, the Music Director of the Columbus Symphony. Just to recap yet again, because I keep saying this too much, but we're all about selling tickets here. West Side Story opens Thursday, the 13th of February, runs through that weekend. There is a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock in the Ohio Theater. Go to cbusarts.com for tickets. And we have one more piece of music.